Okay. Rabbi Liebtag, sources in Tanakh Rosh Hashanah.
At 9:25 or so, a topic break, so that we'll finish something complete, so yeah, we have an exit strategy. since we're learning Yechezkel, and because it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, we had to find a topic that puts the two together. And actually, when I was emailing Bernie, I asked him, would you rather have a shiur on Yechezkel and continue, or would you rather have a shiur on Rosh Hashanah? As usual, Bernie, why don't you do both? And then, and sure enough, then it dawned on me, the topic, the connection is obvious. And what we're going to read first, we're not going to do the entire book topic again. We're going to return to that soon, in the middle of this year. First thing I want to do is read one famous chapter, I guess it's not that famous, but it should be, of Yechezkel, which is a standalone. It's called Nevuat HaTzofeh. HaTzofeh is a watchman. It's standalone. Very, that takes a page. Here we go.
Thank you.
You got your donut?
No.
Okay. There's over here and there's upstairs also. Okay. it's a standalone, and you'll see in a minute the classic rabbinic interpretation of Rosh Hashanah is right in front of us. Everyone knows when you read Chumash, the two scant mentions of Rosh Hashanah and Chumash in Parshat Emor and Parshat Pinchas, all it says is you can make a holiday like all the other ones, calls it the seventh month, and it says it's a Zichron Truah in Emor and it's a Yom Truah in Pinchas. That's the entire description, and go figure that out what that means. So we know what it means. It's a day of judgment and blowing shofar and things like that, and it's a day of doing tshuva and repenting, but it doesn't say that in Chumash, and there's no obvious logic behind it. What I want to show you, it's clear from Yechezkel what the Yom Shofar means, and then we'll see later on, afterwards, how this parak, once we understand its content, and how it relates to Rosh Hashanah, how it relates to the book of Yechezkel, and why it's located where it is. Because this is the basic principle we're trying to teach all the time, is that when you study Navi, you learn not only from the content, but also from the context. Because you don't only learn the parak itself and the content of what Chumash is telling you, or Navi is telling you, where it is in the book usually adds an additional message. So let's begin with Yechezkel Perek Lamed Gimel. Most of it's on the source sheet, but the main reason for the source sheet is to highlight key points. So if you're following a regular talk, it's a little bit better. We'll start with the Nevuah, nice and simple. The Mashal, the Nimshal, nothing really deep here, but I simply want to show you all the things in Rosh Hashanah that we have here. Bayit Varsha Melay Lamor, Ben Adam. Dabel Ben Amcha V'Amata Lehem. Give the people following Mashal. We're going to see later on, Yechezkel uses analogies a lot. In fact, later on, in the end of chapter 34, or the end of the chapter, he's going to complain to God that everyone's making fun of him. Because people come, he's such a good storyteller, that people come to hear the stories, and not the Musar. And that's a classic, Hasidic Rebbe thing. Sometimes a Rebbe can be so charismatic and tell such great stories, people love to hear stories, but they don't get the message of it. In fact, what's the first story? How does he get everyone's attention? What's Yechezkel's debut as far as getting everyone's attention? Remember? He goes to, I had this vision and the sky's opening up and there's, whoa, you follow? But without going into the content, whoa, that's an amazing story, what happened. And then God told me to lie on my side and, you know, time is to make to make a little model of Jerusalem under siege and lie on your side and eat garbage food, you know, on one side for 390 days, another side for 40 days. Whether he actually did that or he's just saying God told me to do that in a vision, those things get people's attention. Now, the problem is they get his attention, but they don't get the message. But everyone in Chinuch knows the problem. Now, so he says like this. Here's the story. He says, should there be a land? Eretz ki yavi eleha charev. L'chu am ha'aretz ish echad mikzehem v'natnu oto lehem letzofeh. There's something sort of hidden here. There's a hidden message here. How does the story begin? Should a land be in a state of imminent war? Let's say you have a country, and some of its neighbors are threatening to blow it up, to destroy it, no, saying we're going to wipe you out, etc. And they're making plans and getting arms together. And there's a situation where the people are pretty sure there's about to be a war. That's the setup. What's a nation do? It has to prepare itself and defend itself. So you're not going to sit and wait every minute for an attack, but you're going to appoint a watchman, the civil defense, and someone's going to be on guard. And if that attack begins, we'll have an early warning system. Nowadays we have this radar things. Back then, what was the ring warning system? How do you tell everybody? There's a danger? Almost very similar to today. You have a siren. The siren back then was a shofar. Didn't need electricity. It worked pretty good, as long as the watchman was doing his watch. But look at the opening line. There's something cute here. He doesn't say, ki tavom mechama bartzichem, like it says in Chumash. What's it say here? Eretz, ki avi aleha cheref. Did you guys catch that? What's implicit here? If there's a war coming out, whose fault is it? Yeah. If a war is about to break out, God is bringing that war about. And he's using that war to teach you something. And that's a thing that comes up a lot in Navi. But he didn't just say, should a war be about to break out? When I'm about to bring out a war, if you know the pasuk that we learned, what pasuk do we learn Shofrot from? Remember, Machoel Tzichron and Shofrot? What's the pasuk that the Sifri learns, that all Halacha learns Machoel Tzichron and Shofrot from? I'm sure you remember.
In Balosha.
Take a look. Keep your finger here for a minute. Go back to Perek Yud. In Sefer Balotha, in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud, there's a famous law of Chatzatzrot, which in their context, Am Yisrael is getting ready to leave Har Sinai in March on their journey to land of Israel. We counted the soldiers. We're about to leave. We have military formation. We count our soldiers. And now we need a bugler. And there's a commandment, a temporary commandment, in the desert, to blow a tkiyah when you want to gather the nation, to blow a truah when it's time to move on and begin fighting. And then in a parenthetical manner, in the last two lines, they say this also applies to a commandment when you enter the land of Israel. Later on, after you conquer it, later on and things are settled down, then it says like this, Kitavom mechaba bartzachem al tzar tzorerechem. Should there be a danger? What does God say to do? Ba'arei otim b'chatzatzrot. You blow a truah with chatzatzrot. V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem elokechem. What would that cause you to do? That'll cause you to either to remember God or be remembered by God, which is classic. It goes both ways. V'noshatem lifnei Hashem, and you'll be safe from your enemies. Do we learn the Chazal learn from this pasuk? We learn Zichronot from here, but we don't learn all three from here. The Sifrei learns Machiot Zichron Shofar from the next pasuk. Uv'yom simchatchem uv'moadechem. What's that mean? What's Yom Simchatchem? Okay. Actually, Ebenezer says something very similar. He doesn't say Ebenezer. He says Machoket. He says Yom Simchatchem. He says it's not Yom Tov. He says like Purim and Chanukah. Look at Ebenezer. He says it's like Purim and Chanukah. What's he having? What's Yom Simchatchem? When you he can you understand the connection? That's after you win the war. And therefore, what's the next line? Of Yom Simchatchem. He's not saying two different possibilities. When there's about to be a war and you blow shofar beforehand and you pray to God and God saves you, then what do you do next? You get it. And that's exactly Yom Ha'atzmaut. You follow? You see how... take a look at Ebenezer. Yom Ha'atzmaut is like Hanukkah and Purim. Like Purim and Hanukkah. There's a shibush in the girsa there, you'll see. Because it says 7 days of... He says seven and eight. You'll see the girsa, but it's clear it's not about Hanukkah and Purim. He says Purim and Hanukkah, but it's misspelled. So he talks about those. And therefore, the result is, make a simcha, and also relate your victory afterwards to God. Remember him before you lose, before when you're in trouble, remember him in the foxhole, remember him even after the war. Then listen to the pasuk. Uv'yom simchatchem u'atchem u'roshei echotcheichem, utkatem b'chatzotzrot. What's that mean now? You blow tkiyah. On what? When you bring your sacrifices. Okay. What's it say next? V'yu lechem l'zikaron, l'fnei Hashem elokechem. Ani Hashem Elokechem. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. 10-10. Understand? No. Okay. What Pasuk here is Shofrot? In Pasuk Yud. What Pasuk is Shofrot? It's an easy one. Which one talks about blowing a shofar? Utkatem Bechatzotrot. Okay. What Pasuk is Zichronot? What phrase, I'm sorry, Zichronot? Vayu lachan Zichron. What Pasuk is Malchiot? Ani Hashem Elokechem, which means what? Well, why is Ani Hashem Elokechem Malchiot? Malchiot doesn't just mean that God is king. It means he's your boss. I think we discussed this once. The first commandment, Ani Hashem Elokechem is the first commandment. But it's the key understanding of Judaism. Malchiot in Judaism is not that I'm God, that's a universal thing. Ani Hashem Elokechem means I'm your boss. Ani Hashem coming out of Egypt, that's a universal thing that God exists. the understanding that you're chosen to serve Him, that's Ani Hashem Elokechem. That's exactly Shema. When we say Shema, what are we saying? It's not a statement of faith. What's Shema, according to the rabbis? It's a pledge of allegiance. When you say Shema, you're not saying I believe that God exists. Because that's not unique to Judaism. What's unique to Judaism is the understanding that I'm chosen to serve Him. The rabbis call it Kabbalat O Machut Shamayim, which means accepting the yoke of heaven. Who wears a yoke? In general, an ox. And why does an ox wear a yoke? Why does an ox wear a yoke? It's not a designer thing. It's not a sign that I'm married and I'm in the service of some of a higher power. It means it enables the owner, the farmer, to utilize the ox power. It's not just a statement of faith. The yoke is a statement of readiness to serve. And therefore, accepting the yoke of heaven, and that's why the pasuk, Chazal read on the mark, Ani Hashem Elokechem is exactly Malkiyot, because that's Shema, and that's like the daily mitzvah of Shema as a kickoff holiday of Rosh Hashanah. That I'm sure we discussed before. On the Jewish calendar, we have two New Years. One's a kickoff holiday for the daily theme of remembering the Exodus. That's Pesach, that's Nisan. And Tishrei is a kickoff holiday for the commandment of saying Shema, of Kabbalat Malkut Shemaim every day. Which every day is the Pledge of Allegiance, your vertical connection to God. Every day you have to remember why God took you out of Egypt and how that has to sensitize you, the whole theme of remembering you were a slave in Egypt and why God took you out. Each daily mitzvah, day and evening, has a kickoff holiday that kicks out that theme for the rest of the year. Pesach, for remembering the Exodus, and Rosh Hashanah, for remembering the God's your boss. And those two things make that the nuts and bolts of being Jewish. Now, in that context, yeah, that's and by blowing shofar, you're doing two things. You're remembering your connection to God, Beniz Karten, but you're also telling mankind that God's king. You're coronating Him. And that's what Rabbi Adler talks about after davening, about that other nations will see that God's reputation is connected to you. Now, so in that context, let's take a look at what Yechezkel is saying here. He tells him, makes up a story about a tzofer. Someone was appointed to be a watchman because there's an imminent war that's about to break out that God is bringing upon. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. And now in the Sorshi, Pasuk Gimel. Barat Echerv Ba'al Aretz. The people of the city see that there's the watchman. It's like, V'lochom Aretz, Ishach HaMikzeyem, V'nodno Oto Letzofer. The end of Pasuk Bet. What happens? The people of the land, not the Amoratzim. Amoratzim in Lashon Chachamim is educationally challenged people. But Am Haaretz in Tanakh are the important people, are the landowners. But they're the people who make the decisions. They appoint political leaders. They're the chief council. Barat Techerev, the watchman, sees what's coming, and what does he do? What should he do? Tekab shofar, vizir ta'am. In other words, what happens when you hear a shofar blowing? It's your last call to do tshuva. Now, take a real story in real life. Right? Let's say you're really under attack. In fact, in Israel, you don't have to give an example. We have it all the time. It's called, when the sermon's called? Something at dome? What's it called? No, but when the siren goes off. Yeah, it's a red alert. It's called Tzeva Adom. When you hear the alert going on, you have like 15 seconds to find shelter. So when you hear the shofar blowing, when you hear the siren, you have X amount of time to prepare yourself. Because if you don't prepare yourself, you don't follow regulations, there's a good chance you'll lose your life. V'shama ha-shomei atkoh ha-shofar, the person listening hears the shofar, v'lo nisar, let's say he didn't take cover, should a sword come and take him away? What's that mean? Who's responsible for his own death? Now, you see the analogy to Rosh Hashanah, by the way? You hear the shofar blowing. It's a day of judgment. It's a time of the year of judgment. And I'm sure we've discussed that. It's not only a day of judgment, like, you know, arbitrarily this time of year, but in the land of Israel, we're about to be judged by the rainy season that's going to determine the outcome of the entire year in anticipation of the rainy season. What we're going to do, we're going to in anticipation of the rainy season, which is going to determine our outcome, we declare that God determines our outcome and based on our deeds and not on any certain whim. Now, Pasuk Hey, et kol shofar shema v'lo nisar, demo bo ye hu nisar nafsho milet. But someone who listens to the shofar blowing can save himself. How about the opposite? Bat sofer ki yiret acher va v'lo toka b'shofar v'am lo nisar v'tovo cher v'tikach mehem nefesh hu b'avu no neokach v'domo miyad ha-sofer drosh. Let's say the watchman doesn't do his job, the rabbi doesn't give the good speech. No, let's say there is no warning, no one blows shofar. They'll be judged anyhow. And the people will be punished for what they've done wrong, but who else is going to be punished? The watchman also, because he has communal responsibility. And you see what's getting on now. Yecheskel doesn't only have an issue with the people, he has a bigger issue with his colleagues and his fellow rabbis who aren't leading the people. And we'll see that as he goes on. Now, Pasuk Zayin. V'ata ben adam, sofen etaticha lebeit Yisrael. God now talks to Yecheskel and tells him, listen, I appointed you a watchman, and he takes the analogy right to Yecheskel. That's why I appointed you as Navi. V'shabata mipi davar v'zarta otam mimeni. If you remember Yecheskel is very reluctant to give his message. You know why? Because no one wants to hear it. No one likes to hear prophecies of doom. No one likes to tell them that, you know, even though you're bringing sacrifices, that God doesn't like you. And he'd rather not say things, because he knows, as a rabbi, no one's going to listen to him anyhow. And they're going to make fun of him. God has to tell Yecheskel, you have to be on record. We'll see this at the end of the parak. Yecheskel is reluctant for a very logical reason. And God tells him, even though you're right, they're not going to listen to you. If you don't give your message, you're responsible. And if you give the message, then it's their fault, not your fault. But we'll see in a minute why it's so important. Pasuk Yud. V'ata ben adam. Emor beit Yisrael, ken amartem, lemor. When the people say, listen, it's a lost cause, let's say the people recognize their sin. You have this Republican approach, which holds that there's no room for mercy. Ask Yonah, he was a Republican. I'm sure we discussed that before. There's a concept that when you throw mercy, midot of rachamim, into the equation, it ruins society. When an 18-year-old knows he can rob a 7-Eleven, and either he won't get caught, and he'll get a free pack of cigarettes. If he does get caught, he gets 3 years in a 3-star hotel and free college education. Okay. Of course he's going to commit crime, because nothing's stopping him. But if someone knows he tries to do a crime, he'll be punished, and that's it, he's finished. Everyone will learn from that, and his friends will think about doing it twice. Remember the two parties? Isn't that the two parties? Republican, Democrats?
Yes.
I oversimplified?
Yeah.
I think I got American politics oversimplified, but there's two approaches that both make sense. It makes sense to have rachamim, but it also makes sense to be against the system. Why does Yonah run away? He believes in God. He doesn't like the system. Even at the end, remember what he says?
He doesn't want to go be the one to carry the prophecy.
Yeah, but even when he carries the prophecy, and they do tshuva, he's still angry because he knows they're going to go back and be bad again. And then God has to give him a little analogy with the kikayon. Even 20 minutes of shade is worth it, even though it's going to go away.
Namakim at the end of the
earth. What?
What's the word namakim?
Namakim, like namik. Namik is like shriveled up, like the wicked witch. Remember she, the witch, when they pour the water on her? That's namak, yeah. What are they saying? We've sinned, and hence what? Okay, you're right. There's no chance for tshuva. We're finished. We're gone.
Oh, so
it's over.
It was Yechazkel and Yonah. They both don't want to.
They're both afraid. The people are saying that there's no room for tshuva. And therefore, look at the next line. You'll see exactly why he's saying this. Emor lehem chay ani num Hashem. This is if this isn't the theme of Rosh Hashanah, then tell me what is. Okay. Im echpot b'mot ha-rasha, or aser to make tshuva even more so. Ki im echpot b'mot ha-rasha, ki b'shuv rasha midarko v'chaya. Shuv v'shuv midarchem ha-raim lama temutu beit Yisrael. Yeah. That idea, yeah, of course, and that's exactly where it comes from. Yeah, it's in Sichot also, I'm sure, right? It's got to throw in there a lot of places. Because the other approach is logical. Thinking, let's say someone recognizes he sinned. He does cheshbon nefesh, and I've sinned. What's it mean? If you recognize, oh my gosh, I've been drinking sugar and coffee and caffeine and donuts, and what's going to happen, right? I'll be awake, but I'm bound to get sick. Now you can do tshuva 1,000 times, you still get cavities and stuff. It's like the fact they said I'm not going to do it again. The damage is done, right? The ulcer is going to be there, and the follow. I might be careful for the next time, but the damage is done and that Gzardin is finished. I got to deal with that. God says no. If you totally understand what you've done wrong, God doesn't want to tell you to bring punishment. He wants you to do tshuva and change your ways. Yeah.
Is this before Rosh Hashanah or Yom
Kippur? I think more Yom Kippur, but Rosh Hashanah kicks off. It's clear from Chumash that Rosh Hashanah leads up to Yom Kippur. And all the holidays of the Rosh Hashanah is Bidat Adin and Yom Kippur Bidat Rachamim, like the first Luchot and second Luchot. But I can't appreciate the second Luchot if I don't understand the first Luchot. In other words, I don't appreciate Midot HaRachamim unless I understand that it should be Midot HaDin. That's a basic concept. That's why the first Luchot is God's Zekel Kana, Poked Avon. I can't appreciate the fact that God has mercy until I understand that Midot HaDin, because of our relationship and because of our job, like the Rabbi talked about, that God's reputation is resting on us, that important job requires obedience. And Midot HaDin, it should be that we have to be perfect in our job, like a pilot.
Why are we learning Yechezkel?
Because every week, that's the...
Is this like the same thing as Yonah or similar?
No, it's Yechezkel. We're doing an ongoing series on Yechezkel.
What?
No, the class here meets on a regular basis doing Yechezkel. Okay.
Oh, now. So every time
you try to go into something else? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Pasuk Yud. Okay. But that ben adam. Okay. Emor ben emcha. Tzidkat tzadik. Yeah, go ahead.
In that quote, the Mamukarash...
Just louder.
What is the
imachpot? I'm sorry. Imachpot, like chefetz. Chefetz is, do you want? Im chafetz banu Hashem. God, what does God chafetz? What does God want? Im means instead. It's a transitional word. In other words, don't think I don't want to punish the Rasha. I don't want to punish him. I want him to recognize the sin and change, and therefore shuvah. That's exactly the opposite of what the people were saying. The people were saying what? Kip sha'enu v'chateinu aleinu v'bam anachnu n'makim. Remember, Yechezkel's people got their punishment. They're in exile already, and they think it's a lost cause. It's over. It's like sitting shivat. You can't. It's an irreversible process. But we'll see that again in Yechezkel when it's the boat of the Chama, because the next paragraph is going to be dry bones. In two chapters, we have dry bones. Lamedvav lamedzayin. There's going to be dry bones. Remember dry bones? Dry bones is saying that the people are saying, Yavshua tzvotenu nigzar rivanu. They give the analogy, when you see dry bones, death is an irreversible process. Yechezkel is saying it's not irreversible. It can change. It can turn around, and there can be redemption again. Okay. Now, he continues the same thing. Skip to Pasuk Yudalot, where he says it, what's that mean? When I say to a Rasha that you're going to die, that doesn't mean you're going to die. V'shab michatato, v'asam mishpadu tzedakah. There's a Cheskel's theme of, Alvin's theme. If you deserve to die, and you deserve to be punished, but you decide I'm going to do tzedakah mishpat, then what will happen? Chavo yeshiv, Chavo yeshiv Rasha, v'zeila yishalem, v'chut ha'chaim halach, v'loti asot avel. If he changes his ways and improves his behavior and does tzedakah mishpat, and he gives three examples of that, returning collateral, returning things he's stolen, following the ways of life. That's right from the beginning of Toshim to you, and very good in Vayikra, member of Achai Bahem, and not doing avel, not doing iniquity. He'll live and he won't die. Got it? We get rid of all the cholesterol, got it? And undoes. It cleans away all the bad, and we have a clean slate. Remember Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva? If you do real tshuva, even if I learn from my mistakes, the mistakes turn into zchuyot. Once he takes upon himself to do tzedakah mishpat, he'll live. Now, where do the people say back? The Republicans. Bamru b'nei amcha. Lo yitachein derech Hashem. Got it? The people don't buy it. The people don't buy that approach. And what's the answer back? Behema darkom lo yitachein. What's the answer back? Your ways. Can't be. There's a theological argument between the Navi and the people. Especially in light of their exile. You know, they finally understood. First they thought they did nothing wrong. They got punished. We did something wrong. But they say it's over. And Yechezkel is harping in this concept of tshuva. Both at the national level, but even at the individual level. Okay. Then that's why he has to repeat it over and over again. For a change, remember Yechezkel is very repetitive, but he's not wasting words. He's got to harp on his point and make it clear to them.
I'm sorry to be so we're not really talking about what you do when a war comes. We're talking about a theoretic war of good and evil.
It's called an analogy.
It's not the actual war of the enemy.
No. The war, that's over. Been there, done that. We're in exile already.
Okay.
Yechezkel is giving an analogy.
Okay.
That just like a watchman can save a city,
okay,
a rabbi can save his community.
All right.
And the community shouldn't say it's too late, you know, the enemy's coming, we're going to get bombed anyhow, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, it's done, we made our mistakes already, we just have to wait for it to happen. We can change things.
Thanks for a literalist among us.
Okay, now, as long as you mentioned, though, I want to take advantage of your question. Because your question is exactly Rosh Hashanah, in Chumash. Remember we asked the question at the beginning? What's it mean, Zichron Truah? When Chumash says Zichron Truah? The psukim that we read in Balotcha are pretty much what you're talking about. Meaning, what does Chumash say? Remember, Uvyom V'chitavo Mechama Bratzechem. Should there be a war about to break out, what do you do? Blow shofar and remember God. Which is Masechet Tanit in a nutshell. And when there's a, no. What are you supposed to do? When you have a real war, and the shofar is blowing and it's real, how do people react when they know their life is on the line? Can't do tshuva like that, right? No, there's no atheist in a foxhole. You're forced into it. You have to. And then you do, but by then it's too late. What does Chumash say to do? Before the war breaks out, in anticipation of the war, what do? You do a trial run. You pretend there's a real air raid, and you do a trial air raid, like we do. We do a trial, you do a practice. Got the idea? You do a practice run of air raid, and then in the practice run of air raid, what feelings are you supposed to have? Every shul rabbi knows. When someone's really sick in a hospital, critical condition, they run to the rabbi. What can I do about them? But then it might be too late. But had they asked the same questions when someone's on a deathbed, had they done the tshuva beforehand, then they might not be in that critical condition. The same thing, if you're at war and you're about to be attacked, then what do you do before the war, a week before, 2 weeks before? You pretend you're under attack and your life is on the line. And you do the same tshuva you would do at the last minute. But if you wait till the last minute, it might be too late already. The army's there. I'm purposely using a different analogy, which relates to Rosh Hashanah. If you ask me, what's the weather going to be like 5 minutes from now? I can give you a pretty good forecast. And I never learned meteorology. That's it. Okay. Take a top meteorologist, the guy who does the weather on the news, the weather on TV, right? And ask him, what's the weather going to be in a month from now? His guess is as good as mine. Agreed? He can be an expert. Okay. Well, where does he come in? What makes him an expert? He can tell you what it'll be in a three-day forecast. I have no idea. He has a better idea because that's his expertise. Now, the land of Israel is dependent on water, on rain. That we know. That was Parshat, we had that in Parshat Ekev. And what's going to determine the outcome of the upcoming year? The rains that fall in Cheshvan and Kislev determine the outcome of the crops that come in the spring and the summer. That's a fact in agriculture. It's a one-year crop system in Israel. That's the way things go. It's so important that the rain god has a name. Remember Baal? And there's Asherah, fertility god. And the people of Canaan had lots of rituals to make sure it rained. Remember Baal Peor? And they had a great way to get people to come daven and shul. You know what they did. If you want the gods to give rain, you go to their temples and you make, right? And that gets the gods excited. Yeah. And that's what happened about Pur with the whole story with Pinchas. Chumash says something much more, much deeper, and fights that. Based on whether you going to have water and rain, we say that every day. Right after the psukim, that the land of Israel is not like Egypt that has a constant supply of water. It says the land of Israel gets rain, it's water. And Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota Tamid. God's looking after that land. Remember Tamid Eni Hashem Elokecha Ba? What's the next line? Im Shamo Atishmu V'Natatim Et Haratzachem. Im Lo Tishmu. Understand? What are we saying in Chumash? And Chumash, boy, do we say it. We say it every day. That the fate of our agricultural year, which is determined by the rain, is determined by God, So what does God determine? Based on? Based on our deeds. Not based on a ritual, but based on how we keep the laws of Sefer Dvarim. Got that idea? Now, if there's a drought in Cheshvan, in Kislev, it's too late. Understand? You can't change the weather forecast 5 minutes. I can't pray for rain. I can't pray if it's... I can't make a prayer to change the weather in 5 minutes. I can pray that the weather will change in a week or 2 weeks from now. In the logical realm of the forecast. What are we doing? A month before the rainy season, which begins in the 8th month, we dedicate the entire 7th month to recognizing this theme of rain. And we're declaring our understanding that based on what will God give us rain? Based on our tshuva, and based on understanding of how we act, and how we keep the laws of Sefer Dvarim. If we wait till Cheshvan, it's too late. Okay, Masechet Tanit has a last minute emergency meeting. Remember, Masechet Tanit? We bring all these tests. And finally, how do we daven, if you know Masechet Tanit? We daven Rosh Hashanah davening, don't we? Which proves that's what Rosh Hashanah davening is about. The Kohen Gadol finally makes it into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. What's he daven for? He davened for rain. And that God should listen to the traveler's prayers. Because they're traveler prayers and it shouldn't rain. What are we daven for in Shemini Atzeret?
Rain.
It's clear that there's a logical reason why the kickoff holiday of Yom HaDin is in Tishrei and not any other month. Just like there's a logical reason for remembering the Exodus in Nisan when we came out of Egypt, there's a logical reason to remember God's kingdom in Tishrei. Now, that was thanks to your question. Sorry about that. But I wanted to tie that in anyhow, but it gave me a good opportunity. That making what Chumash says, make a virtual war day in anticipation of war. He says, do the same thing in anticipation of the rainy season. Because just like when a war is about to break out, everyone feels their life is on the line. When the rainy season is about to come upon us, everyone has to feel that their life is on the line. Got that idea? And that's what God said. What do you do on that day? You make a zichron truah. The same thing you would do at a communal level. If a war is about to break out, you do every year before the rainy season is about to break out. And that's what Chumash says, make a zichron truah or a yom truah. Now, here we see what a Yom Teruah is. When you hear shofar blowing, everyone knows the life is on the line. Now let's go to the end of the parak, Pasach Chav Gimel. We talked about Yechezkel's attitude to the people who were in Babel, who thinks it's a lost cause, and he tells them, you can do tshuva, and there can be redemption for you. Don't give up hope. Listen to the flip side, Pasach Chav Gimel. Remember, everyone has their colleagues. Vayid Varsham Elei Lemor, Ben Adam. Yoshvei HaCharavot Eile, Aad Mat Yisrael Omrim Lemor. Who is he talking about now? Listen carefully. Yoshvei ha-charavot ha-ele al admat Yisrael, Omrim. Is he talking to his people? He's talking to the people in Babel. About who? About the people in the land of Israel.
About what?
They remain. They're sitting in the charavot, in the churva. They're sitting in their destruction, but they remained in Israel. Many people went into exile, the important people, but there are people left behind in the land of Israel. What are the people in Israel saying? Which is really annoying the people in Bavel. Echad haya Avraham, v'yirash et ha'aretz, v'anachnu rabim, lanu nina ha'aretz t'morasha. What are the people saying? Listen, even though we're small in number, we're the future of Am Yisrael. Why? Because, listen, Avraham was just one guy, and he became a whole nation. We're not a lot, but we're more than one. And therefore, who now is going to be the future of the people of Israel? Those who remained in the land. Those who weren't exiled. The people who got exiled got what they deserved. Remember, who got exiled? The elite. The aristocracy. So what are the poor people saying now?
Got
left a couple behind. Yeah. Now, and they had a chance to return. But that goes between Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. The people are saying in Yerushalayim, those who remain. Okay. Those who remained in the land of Israel are thinking now, we're the future, and those who went to Babel, God doesn't want them. And they're out. And that's going to give even more reason for the people in Yechezkel to feel rejected. And once you feel rejected, you're out. You're gone. And the people in Babel were thinking, we've lost all of our hope. It's over. And that's what Yechezkel has to fight tooth and nail. And what's he going to tell them in the next set of chapters? Not only are you going to remain, you can do tshuva, but you guys are the future. Remember, the future's in Brooklyn and not in Flatbush, and not in Yerushalayim. Now, they think they're the future. No. They're finished. The future is going to be... And you're the, they're the atudah. You're the future group that's going to make Am Yisrael. You're going to return and get it right. Got his point? Right. And that way, we understand now why this parak is so important. We'll see now where it is in the book of Yechezkel. What's the answer then? L'chein amor alehem. Not amor alehem. Amor alehem. Got it? Because tell about them. But he has to tell this to the people in Babel so they're not... So they don't feel dejected and rejected. You guys are a bunch of murderers. You know what happens later? With, what's his name? With Gedaliah ben Achikam and that whole chevra? The people left behind are nothing better. They're not so great. They don't have to get each other. Do you think you're going to get the land? No. The people who got exiled, they're the future of Am Yisrael. Al-Adam Tochelu is a difficult topic. What's it mean, eating Adam? It's a pasuk in Chumash, Lo Tochal Adam. So there's an argument, also in the story with Shaul, when he has his first battle, and the people, Ochel Al-Adam. And Yechezkel talks about, in the context of not doing Tzedek HaMishpat, it could be a lot of kashrus, they're eating like before doing Shechita, but it seems to be something worse than that. It seems to be something... Something immoral.
But these are the ones who remained in Eretz Israel.
Those are the land of Israel. If you look in Yechezkel Yuchet, it's where he defines it. Yechezkel Yuchet, he has a whole definition of what it means to do Tzedek HaMishpat. He gives like a list of 6-7 different behaviors, including that, and lifting up your eyes to the mountains. Yeah.
Why does he need to encourage the divisiveness?
He doesn't encourage it, it's there.
Why can't he heal it as opposed to saying, hey, you're not the one? You know what I'm saying?
He would love to, but he can't. Because they're Jewish. What divisiveness is built into the system. The question is, now that it's there, you have to do control. In other words, two kids are arguing. So, let's solve it. You have to make... We have to resolve conflict. Okay? When people woo or at each other, you don't tell them... Be friends. It's not going to work. The first thing you have to do is make sure they don't kill each other. And you can't yell at them when they're fighting with each other. You have to give it time, and then you have to work slowly. Yeah.
You're saying that he's essentially speaking to the people in Babel.
For sure. We know that's where he's living. But why is he talking about the people in Israel? Because the feelings of the people in Babel are having an effect on the conclusions of the people in Babel. The people in Israel are saying, hey, we're the future. And you guys are out of there.
So his purpose is not being, he's not really being divisive. He's simply saying, listen, don't pay attention to the fact that they are saying that you can't do tshuva, you really can't do tshuva.
Yeah.
And don't give up hope.
Yeah, don't think that the fact that you went into exile...
Israel, yeah. Because he knows that they're going to take care.
Exactly. Don't interpret your exile, that God doesn't want you anymore, and the future are those people in Israel, and you're out of the picture. You guys are the future. Yirmiyahu Chavdalet. I think we did it before. Chapter 24, remember the Tenima Rot and Tenima Tavot? The bad figs and the good figs? Take a look later on. Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu Chavdalet is exactly the answer to your question. Yirmiyahu tells the people in Yerushalayim, parallel to this, the people in Babel, they're the Tenima Tavot. They're the good figs. And the people in Yerushalayim, they're the Tenima Rot. They're the bad figs. They're finished. Because people think the opposite. And Yechezkel especially has to deal with that. And he has to, the divisiveness is there. He simply has to make sure that it doesn't cause too much damage. He's doing damage control.
But he's calling them murderers. I mean,
because they are. But he has to explain to them why their future isn't there. If they were big tzaddikim, fine. But they're not tzaddikim. They're no better. He said, that's wisdom. You think that God, that can't be. You guys... He's not doing it to make fun of them. He's doing it to make sure that they understand that they're no better than they are. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's doing exactly the opposite of Yechezkel.
But he's playing the devil's advocate, saying that's the way things are now. He'll give them hope later on, but the people are too self-righteous. The people in Yerushalayim think they're tzaddikim. What's the proof they're tzaddikim? The fact that you weren't exiled. So he has to tell them the people who are exiled are God's favorites, because I have hope for them. You people are so bad, you're not even worth exiling. That's exactly what he says. You guys are finished. Now, he's hoping the same message, that if I yell at you enough, you might do proper tshuva. I mean, there's always that tension between, you have to yell at somebody to make sure he understands what he's done wrong and tell him he's a lost cause, but not to the point that he thinks he's a lost cause. Everyone bring up kids knows exactly the problem. You don't want to yell to the point they're going to run away from home, but you don't want to say everything's good that they think that they're fine even though they're not. It works on grandchildren, not, you know, children, it never works. Yeah. Now, skip towards the end of the parak. Pasuk Chazayin. There's two pesukim later on where he continues. You have to finish up. Kol tomar lehem, kol mar Hashem. Chay ani, im lo asher becharvot becharvi polu. Vasher opnei asadeh lechayan natati belochro. Vasher bemtzot barot bedavri yamoto. Those are the people in Israel. They're going to get their punishment. And that's what happens when the Babylonians come in the final wave. Okay? V'natati tar shmama mushama v'nishpat gon uza v'shamu harei Yisrael mein over. Yerushalayim is finished. It's not that they're going to be. Remember, they said, we're going to be the future. Lanu nitna. Abram was one, we're many. We're the future of Am Yisrael. He says, no. They're finished. Okay? And then, v'yadu ki ani Hashem, v'titi et ha'aretz, shmama v'mushama, akot avutam asher asu. When will you know that I'm Hashem, meaning that I was right, and you have to, and even though you don't listen to what I'm saying, when are you going to realize I was right? When the Chorban comes at Yerushalayim, the temple is destroyed, and those who remained are worse off than you, then you'll know Yadu Ken Hashem. And that's why God tells Yechezkel, you have to say this even though they're not going to listen. And that's his analogy for Nevuat HaTzofer. Right? The watchman can say, listen, I'm going to blow a shofar, no one's going to listen anyhow. They're all watching television. No one's listening. You have to blow the shofar. And even if they won't listen, because when the Churban does happen, then they'll realize. We talked about before Lamed. He'll say this even better. But that ben adam, bnei amcha nidbarim b'chayitz al kirot. This is such a need. I want you to understand why God's telling this to Yechezkel, because Yechezkel doesn't want to do his job, because no one listens to him. And now he's explaining to Yechezkel what Yechezkel knows. Ben adam, bnei amcha nidbarim b'chayitz. You know what that means? Your people who are talking about you. Where? In Shul. Not in Shul, but during Chazar Shashat. Okay? It's a chatter in town. Everyone's making fun of Yechezkel. What are they saying? That's what? And let's go check out what the Navi has said. We're going to the movies. So let's go. Let's hear what Yechezkel has to say. He's got these great stories. And people are coming. Oh, Yechezkel's popular because he says these cool things. No one takes him seriously. Or takes him, you know, internalizes what he's saying. But people love to hear, you know, what the rabbi's saying this week in Shul.
Don't watch Noah build the ark, but yeah? It's just entertainment.
Yeah. Now, what's he say next? V'yavo elecha, k'mvo am v'yoshvel ami, lefanech ami, v'shemo et dvarecha, v'otom lo yasu. Got it? They're going to come and listen to you, but they're not going to keep it. Ki agavim b'fiyem heim osim, v'achri b'itzam di b'molech. Right? They're basically, they make fun of you. They're interested. They're just anyone who knows, like, chatter talk and shul, how they make fun of the rabbi. I'm not sure if this shul is like much better off. But take a classic, I won't say, take your classic shul where the rabbi gives a speech and everyone's going to make fun of the rabbi. You know, who's he trying to kid? You know, we're rich, we're wealthy, we have run businesses. You know, don't tell us what to do. But it's interesting. Let's see what he has to say about in shul before Kiddush Chol. Now, Kibine lechem lahem kishir agavim. Yefe kol umitib nagein. It's like, you know, it's like going to a concert. Something nice. V'shumot varecha v'osim eina motam. They listen to you, but they don't do it. That was my point in the beginning, and that's what Yechezkel is dealing with. U'bevo'ah. Here's the key. What's bevo'ah mean? When what comes? When the war comes and destruction comes. V'yadu ki nibih haya b'tocham. Understand why that's the answer in the end of the parak? When are they going to finally realize, hey, that watchman was right? When it comes. And then they'll know afterwards, and then they'll really do tshuva. It's too late to save Yerushalayim, but there's still time to save the people in Bavel, for them to do tshuva, not to give up hope. When will they finally realize the Nevi was right? Only after it happens. If Yechezkel didn't give his nevuah, right, then the people wouldn't know how to interpret the Churban. But because he was on record and warned them, and forecasted it, that'll give hope after the disaster happens. That we saw the same thing with Yirmiyahu. Now, one last quick nevuah, Yechezkel Lamedalev, because this also affects Rosh Hashanah davening. It's even better. At least it's a composition. Vayidvar Hashem Eli Lemor Ben Adam, Hinavei Al Ro'ei Yisrael, Hinavei V'Amarta. Who's he complaining about now? The Ro'im are the shepherds. But the shepherds are the leaders. It's clear, it's talking about the shepherds. The shepherds is an analogy to leaders. Remember, Anu Tzonecha Vata Ro'inu Ta'ayin? We're your sheep, we're shepherds. Okay. Hinavei al ro'i yisrael, hinavei v'amarta lehem, lorim. Kol mar Hashem, hoi. You know what hoi means. It's anamanapia. Hoi ro'i yisrael. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. Asher you ro'im otam, halo atzon yiru, haro'im. What should shepherds do? What are they paid to do? To take care of the sheep. Now, what are they doing wrong? There's question marks there, so I put a little that's in here to help you read it. At the chelev tochelu, but the tzimr tibashu, babriyat izbahu. In other words, what are you doing as shepherds? You're taking all the dividends. You're getting all the meat, and you're getting. What do you care about when you're taking care of the sheep? You care about the dividends. What don't you care about? Okay? The sheep themselves. Okay. But so no tiru. You think you can take only benefits and not take your responsibility to take care of the sheep? At the nachlot lo chizaktem, the weak ones you didn't strengthen. But the chola lo repaytem, the sick one you didn't take care of and bandage and heal. Vinishber lo chavashtem, one with a broken leg you didn't put a cast on and take care of it. But the nidachad lo shevotem, the one that ran away you didn't bring it back. That's the job of the shepherd. But the veder lo bikashtem, you don't care about the ones that got lost. And you work them hard, you didn't care about their then it's your shepherds who are taking advantage of the people, only wanting their tax money, and only wanting their what you can gain from them. You want the dividends, but you don't care about their individual existence. You understand the analogy?
No.
Okay. Now, what happens? That's what you did wrong, and therefore what's going to happen to this flock if that's the way you act as a shepherd? The sheep might be around there for a week or two, but in a short amount of time, if you're not a good shepherd, you'll lose your flock. Okay? What will happen? The sheep will what? Will scatter around without a shepherd. They'll be eaten up by all the other animals around. Use good giva, and my sheep are going to be crying from every high place because there's no one taking care of them. Where's the leadership? Where are you? Why are you taking care of the people? Why aren't you leading them? You're just milking them. L'chein ro'im shimu et devar Hashem. Therefore, shepherds, listen up. Chayani num Hashem. Im lo yan heyot tzoni levaz v'tiena tzoni olochla l'chol echad tesadeh me'in ro'e v'lo dorshu ro'i et tzoni v'yu ro'im otam et tzoni lo ro'u. Because my flock, my people, did not have leadership and the leaders did a bad job, I'm going to punish the leaders, but who's going to take care of the sheep? You know this by heart. Listen up, all you shepherds. You're fired. Call on Hashem.
He
God. Okay. This is my message to the shepherds. I'm going to take over the flock, and I'm going to take care of them now. You guys are fired. You won't be able to lead my sheep anymore. You won't take care of them anymore. Call my Hashem. What am I going to do? I'm going to come myself and take care of the sheep. God Himself is going to act now as shepherd. He's given up on middle management. He's going to take over the company Himself. Temporarily, like with Moshe Rabbeinu. A one-man leader, and then we'll have to rig up new middle management. How is God going to do it? Tell me if this sounds familiar. Kibakarat ro'edro. Like what? Like a shepherd does what? A boker is already taking care of the cattle. Takes care of his flock. B'yom heyot b'toch tzoni nifrosot. Okay. Kena v'ker tzoni. I'm going to take when they're in trouble and around. That's how I'm going to take care of my sheep. Listen carefully to what it says now. Bitzalti. This is a parallel now. Bitzalti etchem mikol mekamot asher nefotu sham b'yom anan v'rafel. I'm going to save them from all the places they've been scattered. Votzati min amim v'kibatzi min ha'arsot v'avitim alad matam v'ritem ha'arisav v'afikim. I'm going to return them and bring them back to the land of Israel. Okay? B'mire tov ere otam v'arei marom. I'll bring them back to the land of Israel. In beautiful pastures. Pasuk tetvav. I'm going to lead them. I'll be their shepherd. I'll take care of them. And listen how he finishes off. Et ovedet avakesh. Isn't that beautiful? The words are. Et ovedet avakesh. Everything that you did wrong, I'll take care of the lost ones. That in idachat ashiv, v'anishber techvosh, v'tacholeh hazek, v'tashmena v'tachazakah shmid. The rough ones and the mean ones and those who took advantage. I'll punish them. Erena b'mishpat. I'll shepherd them. I'll take them with justice. Then I'm going to appoint the right king of David, the one who leads them the right way. And you see here this whole theme of Mishpat, of God coming and judging us, each one. Yet What period am I talking about here? What period was built on this? What period is that? It's Sanatokia. We know the song, right? Kavakar Sor Edra. Did anyone realize where it's from?
Yeah.
You didn't realize it's from here, did you? Where'd you think? You thought it was from the Mishnah, right? What's the Mishnah say? Say the Mishnah by heart. What happens in Rosh Hashanah? The whole Bayalam, Bayim Lefanecha, which is it's Shibush in the Gersa. It's Kib Numeron. Numeron, it's a word in Latin. Like soldiers being counted. Numeron. The word really, you know what numeron is? Like numeric? It's a Latin word, and it sort of switched. It's a machloket in Gersa'ot. But most likely the original was numeron. It was understood as b'nei maron, like taking care of sheep more. But it really should be, you know, the God watches over us like a general, like a red square when on May Day, and when the troops march in front of the commander. But the real source of Bakrat Torah draws in Sanatokev is clearly from here, no doubt about it. And when you know the setting in Yecheskel, and how God's going to take every single one, and Dafka it's something redemptive. You know, He's going to take care of. He's going to make up for bad leadership and hopefully appoint new leadership, but God will take care of everyone. But what do we need to do? But God will take care of John. But remember, he's going to take care of the sick and the needy, and he'll punish the haughty and the brionim and the bullies. Yeah.
No, the two prokim don't necessarily take place. It's different weeks, maybe different speeches, but the message in the first one is, don't worry, it's not too late.
Yeah.
You can always come back. And the message here specifically to the Roim is, you're done.
Yeah.
There's no opportunity. Yeah,
and the message to the people is, don't put your, I'll save you. And the fact you have lousy leadership doesn't mean I can't come and take care of it.
Tshuva is allowed for some, but for others.
There's always room even for leaders to do tshuva. Yeah. But he says leaders that are lost. The people shouldn't think because my leadership is so lousy, there's no hope for me. God will come and save them. But those two themes, there's two major Rosh Hashanah themes there. The theme of a day of judgment. I think the idea of Yom Din is shouting here, isn't it? You know, of what God does, sheep by sheep, each one. And what I want you to do simply, when you understand the source the rabbinic interpretation of shofar blowing, and even davening in the Piyutim theme, is exactly these themes, isn't it? Of Yom Din. But it's not in Chumash. But when you see the application that Yecheskel has and the analogies he uses, you can appreciate that was the original intention of Chumash, because that's how it's understood by the Nevi'im. And the rabbis apply it perfectly. But here you see the source of where it's coming from. Yeah, quickly.
Are you saying that God takes over without any middle management at all? Or a new middle management?
Look at the next line. He has to establish new middle management. I'm going to now appoint a new CEO. Like who? Why was David chosen? Remember? It's Tzemach David. Remember? Looking in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, especially Yirmiyahu. I'll bring it from take a look in Chaf Gimel Pasuk Hey. I'll bring Tzemach from David, and he'll do Mishpat Tzedakah Ba'aretz, B'yamahu. On that day, I'll redeem Yehuda. But when he brings David, it's not something genetic. It's something, it's a type of leadership that's based on Tzedakah Mishpat. He's hoping that will be Zerubbabel. Right? That's the hope. There's the potential because he's from Zerah David. But the hope is he'll do that. It doesn't. But listen to Zecharia. That's exactly what he's saying. Zecharia Perek Zayin Chet is exactly that thing. No. Now, right? I'll be your boss. Babdi David Nasi B'tocham. No, it's Nasi, not Melech. Okay? B'tocham, Ani Hashem Dibarti. והחלטתי להם ברית שלום, והשבעתי את עולם מן הארץ, וישבו מן בעל הבטח, וידעו כי אני השם, אלוהיהם איתם, הם עמי בית ישראל, עשי יום כפר דאברי, אנו עמך, אתה אלוהינו, יום השם, אתם צוני צון מריתי, אדם אתם, אני אלוהיהם, יום השם. I'm saying, I'm going to be your boss, I'll take care, I'm going to appoint a new CEO, and hopefully he'll be like David was, and he'll lead the people the right way, and then we'll start over again. Don't give up hope. It's not a lost cause. And that's why coming up in Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin will be exactly that theme that Yecheskel has to harpen over and over again. Don't give up hope, because they have every reason to give up hope. Now, just quickly, last 2 minutes, I want to take a look at these two prakim. Where are they in the book? Now, what we've done so far, to review what we've done over the last couple shiurim, like last year or so, we have the first 24 chapters. We talked about the Baruch of Israel, the Tochachot, and we talked about how they coincide with the Nevi'i Sheker saying the Kelim are coming back, and the worst is over, and Bavel is falling in years 5, 6, and 7. And the Chesko says exactly then that's when the Kelim are going back. Sure, we discussed that, didn't we? And that's exactly the point where people are thinking, hey, the center is in Israel, and the Chesko says, no, the center is in Bavel. And that's such a fight. I mean, that's why I use the analogy from today. Bavel comes and say the future of Am Yisrael is in Brooklyn and not in Israel. No one's going to listen to him. Now, then we have the when we finish that, starting in Chafei, we have the Bruk of the other nations. If you take a look in your top, you'll see every parak from Chafei to Lamed Bet is Nevuot Alamim. But what's the theme in all of them? I think we did a share on that. I'm pretty sure we did. The theme is, what have you done wrong? Right? You made fun of Am Yisrael when they sinned. You didn't care. What happens in chapter... then we have our two chapters. And then we have something short about Edom, which is parenthetical, about Har Seir, because Edom, they were like our arch enemy. And look in Lamed Hey, the end of Lamed Hey, why he's got so angry at Bavel, in Edom, I'm sorry. Where's Lamed Hey at the end? What did Edom do wrong? Pasuk Hey. Why is God going to punish Edom? Yan heyot lecha evat olam. You were the eternal enemy of my people. But the ger b'nei Yisrael al yidei charef, beit Edom, beit Avon, kids. What happened? Remember Edom and Yom Edom? On the day of our destruction, who was cheering and happy and edging the Babylonians on? What? Our cousins, Edom. They were so happy. V'chein chayani num Hashem, kim ledam esel, v'dam yedafecha, kim, he goes on. He'll punish them, Edom, for what they've done wrong. Pasuk Tet, Shimot Olam etencha varecha lo tashovna vidatem kin Hashem. You'll be wiped out, and your cities won't be rebuilt, unlike Israel. Listen carefully. Why? Yan amracha al shneha et shneha goyim et shteha harsot li tiena tirashnuha v'Hashem sham haya. What was Edom hoping for? Now that Israel and Yehuda are gone, who's going to take over? They'll be the full. No, they're hoping we'll be the Palestinian
How
state.
How is Israel and Yehuda?
Yeah. Israel and Yehuda were exiled. Okay, they were exiled already. And after being exiled, what's Edom hoping? I'm going to take over. We have one side. And notice, they see now they're going to be greater Israel. Not the Jewish people, but they want the land. And Edom being... why is Edom so eager for Bavel to win? Because Bavel is going to do the dirty work for them. They were our arch enemy all along, but they couldn't defeat us. They weren't big enough. Bavel comes and does the dirty work. Bavel's going to leave and go on with their conquest. Who's going to take over? The East Bank? The West Bank? That'll be Edom. And because of that, God has his anger with Edom. And again, that's what... Not only the Edomites think that. Who else thinks that? Israel thinks that. And that's what they're afraid of. God says, don't worry, I'll punish them. And the land will be for you. Yeah, that's a different topic. About Edom. Now, he's given the situation in Edom. He wants Am Yisrael to recognize, not to give up hope, because they're so sure they're going to win. Edom's sure they're going to win. The Jews are sure that Edom is going to win. Now, right after that, we have the Nevuot of Nechama, which fit nicely to what we talked about in the Gimel Lamed Aleph. Now that we have Nechama, how God's going to bring about Nechama, and why he's punishing the leadership, now he goes back again, not to give up hope. We have the dry bones. Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, we have to talk about separately. That's already probably the next year. But what I'll probably show you today is the... You know, this setup is at the end of Nevuot Amim. In the Nevuot Amim, God's going to say over and over again, I'm pretty sure we discussed that the reason I'm punishing them is because of the Chilul Hashem that was caused. That we'll see that for sure in Lamed Vav. In Lamed Vav, why is God going to come and save us? Because you being in exile is a Chilul Hashem. Look in Lamed Vav, the first Parshia, at the bottom of it. In Lamed Vav, where is it? Let me saviv Batar Yisrael. Where's the one I wanted? The Haftarah we have from some Pesach we read here in Lamed Vav Pasuk Yutet. I scattered them among the nations. Pasachaf we need. My nation went into exile after I scattered them to where they went to. By Chaluot Shem Kodshi, they defiled my name. Listen, what was the Chilul Hashem? Be'amor lahem, Am Hashem Eile Umerza Yatzau. What caused the Chilul Hashem? The very fact that God's people are scattered in someone else's land, what's it look like? That God can't take care of his sheep. You follow? And when Chesko is saying, I'm not bringing you back because you're great tzaddikim. The very fact that you're in exile makes me look bad. And lo lemanchem, that's the next line. Lo lemanchem ani osa bet Yisrael kim l'shem kodshi. That was again what Rabbi was talking about. What?
That's Moshe's argument.
Exactly. I mean, where he gets from it. It's, what do we say in davening? Hanshama lach v'guf shalach v'chulei. Hanshama lach v'guf shalach v'asei l'man shemecha v'tano shimcha. V'asei l'man shemecha v'avur klot shimcha. K'al chalum shemecha. Forgive us for that. We don't deserve it. But for the sake of your name, we'll do that. Okay, so we'll stop here. But the main thing I want to do today was show you the, I think, get the title. That there's sources of our Rosh Hashanah davening, the themes in Rosh Hashanah davening, the theme what behind Rosh, behind shofar blowing, and the piyutim that we have are very much rooted in very simple pasuk in Yecheskel. When you pay attention to the historical setting of Yecheskel, who's he talking to, and when is he talking to them, you appreciate its content there, but also you appreciate its message to future generations as well.
So then, okay,
at
the end, the second paragraph,
yeah.
We flip the theme from hope and redemptive to more punitive.
Yeah, that's
so it flips, and you
read the message
of redemptive.
But let's see, you will do that.